Conoce las historias de las personas que son parte del cambio para proteger nuestro planeta. Esto es Sustentablemente. Conversaciones que inspiran. Un podcast original de Radio Pauta con Carolina Escobar.
Today we're with Peter Summers. Peter, thank you so much. And we would like to introduce you as, of course, the CEO of Bob Echo. But not everybody needs necessarily to know what this spectacular motorcycle company or electric company has to show and to share with everybody else, and also the big social impact that it has.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for being here. Thanks for inviting me to this video podcast. Yeah. So Bob Echo is still a startup company. That's why probably not many people know it. Yeah. And we're active mainly in Africa. That's where it all started. So Bob Echo has been founded by three Dutch entrepreneurs. And initially they were active in Uganda with, on the charity side, drilling water boreholes for people. And now they have 5,000 water boreholes providing for 3 million clean water every day. But it's on the side, has nothing to do with Bob Echo. But there they started also in microfinance. And then they found out that almost 99% of the microfinance was closed for the acquisition of a motorbike. Because in Africa, a motorbike means access to work, and access to work means access to an income and a living. And there the idea came along, why don't we combine a couple of things? Because Africa today has a problem of unemployment. 30% of the young Africans, 15 to 24, are unemployed. Yeah? There is an immigration and active, of course, because people don't find work. And what is better to provide that is offering work in the country where they are. Then secondly, there's a pollution. There's a huge pollution in Africa. If you come to certain countries, it's extremely unhealthy. Even when I visit, after a couple of hours, I can feel how difficult it is to breathe and to live there. And the combination of all these factors is the Bob Echo concept. And the Bob Echo concept means that we produce our own motorbike, the Bob Echo Model X Generation 2 motorbike, which is an electric motorbike, very robustly built, specifically for Africa. And what we do is we don't sell the motorbike, because then you come again in the same story that people need money to buy the motorbike and they don't have the money and then they need microfinancing. So what we do is we rent out the motorbike. And we rent out the motorbike in a full concept, all included, for a fee per day. That fee per day, if you calculate it, is lower than the cost of the petrol motorbike. Why is that? Because we offer an all-inclusive model, motorbike, helmets, batteries, swapping of the batteries, so that means also the electricity, so they don't need to buy fuel, the registration, insurance for the driver, insurance for the motorbike, and also a health insurance for the driver and its family. Yeah. And then education, not unimportant. We educate them how to drive safely, because road accidents is also a big issue in Africa. And we help them with a small course, how to make moderate motorbike. That's in a nutshell the whole concept, where we move away from the traditional selling of motorbikes. And if you would sell an electric motorbike today, it would be more expensive than a petrol one. So nobody would buy it. Yeah? But if you go to a rental model with an all-inclusive total cost of ownership calculation, then the electric motorbike is cheaper than the petrol motorbike, not polluting, of course, with zero CO2 emissions. That's the whole concept.
Peter, and then anybody that could be listening to us is like, whoa, that's a lot. Like, they don't not only give an opportunity to those that usually wouldn't, even women, but they also educate them by getting the driver's license or the knowledge of how to drive responsibly, but the helmet, the insurance. What is the big business then? Because you would just say this is philanthropy, right? I mean, I know you rent it, but it's cheaper than the market.
Well, it's cheaper than the petrol motorbike. And the market of electric motorbikes will be similar. But the reason why the founders worked on this model is because they want to have a social aspect and have an impact in Africa. Of course, we are not a philanthropy company. We are not a nonprofit. We are a for-profit social enterprise. So, of course, we want to make profit. A part of the profit in the future, because now we invest and we reinvest and invest, a part of the profit will go to charity, the water boreholes or something else. So the whole concept is indeed a social concept, but for-profit company. And that's what attracted me to join the company a year ago and help Bob Eco to roll out across Africa. By mid this year, we will probably be in 15 countries in Africa, but not only Africa. We started also to look at other interesting countries where motorbikes are a given, and there are many. Yeah, less in Europe, but we started Latin America with an agreement we concluded with Supercool, and Mexico is in full preparation to launch activities where we each time form a joint venture with a local company who is going to deploy the activities. In Mexico, initially, it will not be the Bob Eco concept. It will be starting with renting it out, again renting, but B2B, to last mile delivery companies, where we rent out the motorbike, including the swapping, electricity, insurance, registration, but less the social aspect. This is how we test and enter markets. And once we are sure that also the social model is important and can work, then we roll it out. Social is more important in Africa, of course, but not only in Africa. I think in every motorbike country, even Latin America, it can play a role. So yes, it's Mexico. We start in the Philippines. We're preparing a launch in the UAE. So it's all over the place. But a startup that is scaling fast now, and that's very nice to see how we can deploy our motorbikes.
And then, is that the only two models? I'm thinking, like, if I think of motorbikes, I also think of India, for instance, where you would have a lot of people riding them and not necessarily in the safest conditions.
No, you're absolutely right. But India has a policy that they tax foreign, and certainly we produce in China. It's a motorbike which is produced in the biggest Suzuki factory. So it's half Japanese, half Chinese, so very robust and well-known, let's say, frame and motorbike. But India is taxing 100% on import duties, everything comes from China. So that makes us, if we don't produce locally in India, it is not possible for us to enter the market. And a lot of Indian competition with, I would say, cheap and cheerful motorbikes, that for us is not what we want. We want a very robust motorbike that is capable to drive on the roads in Africa. And the roads in Africa are not similar to the roads in Europe or in the UAE or in the US, as everybody knows. So that's why we have a very robust one. We built one that will last longer than a cheap and cheerful, because what is the strategy of most of the producers is to sell. Yeah. So if you want to sell, and I explained that the electric motorbike de facto is more expensive than a petrol motorbike. So to win market share, they need to be cheaper. What do? They build a very cheap one, or they build a scooter. Scooter has smaller wheels, motorbike has bigger wheels. We don't believe in the scooter for Africa at all, but you see competition coming in with scooters. So it is early days, because I think from the total market in Africa, less than 1% is electrified today. So the whole market is open and free to tackle. And yeah, the ambitions of the shareholders is to become the Tesla of the motorbikes in Africa. Mm-hmm. And that's a very strong ambition.
You know what? I have several subjects that I would still like to touch before we have to hang up. I know you have a very tight agenda, but before that, I would love to know some of the experiences. What's the response of people that have tried, that are renting nowadays, that you could share that with us?
Sure. Most important for us is to test the model in each market. Yeah? So we're still in a startup phase, as I told you. So we didn't test it everywhere, the full model, because in some of the markets, we go in B2B, and later we go in B2C. With two markets that we prepare a bigger launch for the full concept, that is Congo DRC and Malawi, and probably also Liberia, where we go together with a foundation, Foundation for Women, going to do a market entry with the full Bob Eco concept and test that to the full extent. So today, the Bob Eco concept is only limited rollout, limited capacity rolled out. So we don't have a lot of feedback yet, but those what we have is they like it, and then they rent a motorbike, they're happy with the motorbike. It's a new one, it's visible in the street, it has an orange color, everybody sees it, everybody talks about it. They're so proud that they can drive from the motorbike, and it's a fantastic motorbike to drive for, because people who understand what electric cars means compared to other petrol cars, the acceleration is faster, there's no noise, it's a fun to drive it. So that's one thing. So the feedback of the, let's say, the technologies and the fun of driving the motorbike is fantastic. And also the concept, they like it, that we try to help them with the fact that they can own a motorbike, but that's a tricky point, of course, because they don't own it. Yeah? It's a rental motorbike. And then we try to find solutions that in their mind is their bike. Yeah? For example, in Curaçao, we're going to work on for long-term rent that we also deploy there. We are going to try to work with artists that can potentially paint the front of the motorbike personalized, so that it becomes a personalized motorbike that they rent, but then it's theirs. Yeah. So we work on different things, and Curaçao is, yeah, for us a lab where we test more things than just renting out the motorbike to companies or to individuals.
Well, and in that sense, you were saying the motorbike is orange, and it also has kind of like a between a wheel and an orange, the fruit, as a logo, right? I guess that obeys or follows the fact of the owners being Dutch. Is that the reason?
That's one of the main reasons. They like the color orange because, yeah, if you see Max Verstappen winning the Formula One, the only thing you see is orange. So to a certain extent, I'm Belgian, so I'm not Dutch, so we can joke about it. But yeah, they like the color orange. But if you see it in the street,
yeah,
it attracts vision, it attracts attendance. People look at it. And I tested it out a couple of weeks ago in a new island, Bonaire, in the Caribbean, where we were driving around with a motorbike, and only two. And people were turning their head because it is different. Normal motorbikes are black or dark blue or something like that. But this is really eye-catching. And also, it's good that it's eye-catching because that means it's also safer.
Well, and in that sense, too, for those that are trying to reach and grow as their family economy, and I'm just thinking as a woman trying to... As a single mom, trying to get your kids to school and everything, is there any way that they can upgrade in a sense of not only renting, but going further within Bob Eco?
Too early to say, but we have some special projects that we prepare specifically for women. Yeah? One in Liberia, we work with foundation. So we're in... As we speak in discussions, how can we do something specific for women by maybe reduced fees or help them to get a driver license? The same thing in South Africa, we prepared with a foundation of the US, also a foundation specifically for women in Africa, how we can also let them have access to maybe cheaper and maybe some donations that come in so that the fee per day or the fee per week can be reduced for them. And most of them, they don't have a driver license. So giving the opportunity to get the driver license is something else that we are working on. So yeah, there are many, many options possible once you have the motorbike in the street and the motorbike available, how we can think about the social aspect, the women access, the women equality in Africa is another topic of interest. A lot of work still to do for us.
Well, good. A lot of space to keep on growing. You talked about Latin America. You mentioned Mexico there. What is the vision for it? And I know that you have a specific project in Curaçao. which is Caribbean, but it's coming towards our part of the world.
Yeah, it's close by. Well, any country with a lot of motorbikes is a target country, but we can't be everywhere, of course, at the same time. So we're a young company and scaling fast. And the strategy we deployed is let's test out the model in as many as markets possible, instead of targeting one or two markets and go extremely deep in that market. So it's a different strategy. Then the next phase is once we know that the model works in a country, we will deploy fast and scale up. So Latin America, Mexico is on the radar, of course, and that's there. And there will be more Latin American countries that will follow. Think about Brazil. It's a target country for sure, and that will come on the list soon. But the Caribbean is it started in the Caribbean because there is a party or person on the island who was interested, and that's most of the time we have a, not most of the time all the time we have a local partner, because we don't have the knowledge what the culture is in Curaçao. We don't have the knowledge what the culture is in South Africa or in Congo DRC. So you need a localization of the project with local people who run the project. And we do that always in a joint venture. So Bob Eco is providing the motorbikes and the knowledge and the systems, and the local partner together with us is going to deploy the strategy. So in Curaçao, we started through a partner, and because the island is small and we can overlook it well, we decided that Curaçao will be our test lab. Yeah. So there we test different models, and yeah, we found out that on the island there is no food delivery system, no food delivery app. Across the world you can find Uber Eats and the Deliveroos. On that island, it doesn't exist for one or another reason. Then we said, well, if we have a fleet of vehicles, and we want to look at the social aspects, why can't we combine to bring young, unemployed guys and ladies and young ladies from Curaçao? We put them in a motorbike and let them drive around with pizzas and other and hamburgers and so on. So we're now launching, as we speak, the activity. We started in January. We have already 43 youngsters that are driving around in a motorbike with the food delivery. We're preparing the food app. It will be the Bob app that we will deploy on the island, connect all the restaurants with our system so that people can have the same service that they can find almost everywhere, and order their food online. And Bob Eco will deliver sustainable with a green motorbike. It will be green, it will be orange, of course, but a sustainable motorbike, not producing any CO2. And that's a nice thing to have. And we will move on by trying also out payment system, because if you have a food app, then you have payment system, a unique payment system. And on the island of Curaçao, it's not so deployed that everybody has access to a banking account. Like in Africa, the same thing. So access to a banking account is a big problem also in many of the countries where we are. So how can we solve that by working together with payment providers, maybe loyalty cards, and create the Bob Payment, the Bob Loyalty, the Bob App, the Bob Food, and so on and so on. And when that works and when the system exists, then it's also easier to deploy that in African countries and other countries where we are active. So more and more we see that we potentially, the motorcycle is there, that is a given, yeah? But with that motorcycle, you can do more. Yeah, you can do sustainability, you can do charity, you can do the women projects, other projects, foundation projects, and new commercial initiatives that are not existing on an island or in a country. So yeah, there is more to come. Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Peter Sommers, CEO of Bob Eco. And Peter, you know what? There's actually the Bob Eco project, as I can see, not only the motorcycles. But in that sense, awesome. You have a, in this case, a social project that it's really big, a environmental project that it's big too because of the electrical motorcycles. Do you have a continuity too about what happens when the motorcycles cannot be used anymore? Is there a recycling program? Is there anything that you do with them after their lifespan is completed?
Well, it's something we still need to figure out, yeah, because we have a couple of years ahead of us because all the motorcycles are new. And we know that we have a guarantee from the factory of at least 5 to 6 years. Yeah. So what will we do with the motorbike and what will be the condition of the motorbike after 5 to 6 years? We don't know yet. Yeah. We will figure that out as it comes. And when the motorbike is not good enough anymore in a rental system, we will provide a new one. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, the user pays for a motorbike that functions. Yeah. The same with the batteries. The batteries is the most critical part of the motorbike.
Due to the fact,
not only recycling, but also the functionality of the motorbike, the range of the battery. And that's where we, in a rental model, the responsibility is fully ours. Yeah. Because people pay for the motorbike and the electricity, so they need to drive. And we will make it for sure that they can drive. How we solve that, we also want to do that in a more sustainable way. What will happen in the motorbike? A bigger question that we need to ask is when we talk about with governments in Africa about the full country, electrified country, not only a city or one of other project, but we have these kind of discussions. And then the topic is more, what can we do with the existing petrol motorbikes? Can we take them fully out of the market and replace them fully with electric motorbikes? So that's another project we are working on. So we don't have all the answers yet, and that's typical for startups. And that's also good because we work on today and we will solve the problems of tomorrow that will come one day.
Wonderful. And you know what? You're so right. That's a big thing in startups. And I think it's wonderful that they can talk about it so openly and saying, you know what, we're working on it and we're trying to get our path through it. Absolutely. Well, Peter, we would like to thank you so much for your time. I think we're exactly in the minutes that we agreed on, so we will let you go. Appreciate it. And perfect. I love the fact that you're growing, just giving solutions and opportunities to those that definitely deserve it in societies and in countries that might be a little bit difficult for them to just get a job or find something that they can do and combine with their daily lives. So congratulations. Absolutely. And thank you again.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Escuchaste conversaciones que inspiran y nos invitan a tomar acción en el cuidado de nuestro planeta. Esto fue Sustentablemente, junto a Carolina Escobar, un podcast original de Radio Pauta.